He's RSN's AFL editor, Mark Stevens.
What's that song that we're playing under Steve-O? You would know that one, wouldn't you?
I don't even know what it is. Ooh-wee. Doesn't it go like that at some stage?
Mikey, you chose it, did you?
No, I didn't choose it. I'm not sure. John Bowden would know it.
Do
you know that song, John?
I think it's James is the band.
James. Never heard of James. Have you heard of James, Johnny Bowden?
I didn't hear what you were playing.
Oh.
Here's RSN's AFL editor, Mark Stevens.
I thought you were a music
Oh, no, no, it's not generic, but I can't...
No, it's a song.
It's a song.
First person to SMS us.
It's Ooh. James, I think. Anything after Woodstock. He's
well, when a signed Johnny. Autograph of Mark Stevens.
Anything after Sunbury, 1971.
I slept there.
Who with?
By myself on a grand sheet, and it rained. The last one was rained out. I went to see Deep Purple and Billy Thorpe. It was great.
Did you know where you were?
I think so. There was a lot of funny things going on.
Johnny Bowden. I want to get you in. We'll do a half hour of Johnny Bowden's greatest music stories and tours. The unsealed section.
We used to hear a lot where I used to work.
I bet.
Get the inside stories on bands like Fleetwood Mac and what they got up to.
We'll save that. Ooh. We'll do that a little podcast. Johnny
Mick
Bowden.
Sharkey is listening and he's just texted me. James... Laid.
Yep.
There you
Great
go.
Great song. There you go. James.
Well, I did say
by,
James.
Or Laid by James.
There you go.
I can't repeat Shark the chorus, Nader. Actually.
Well, actually, Mikey might find it.
No, don't play the chorus.
Well, we're having
it's a bit suggestive.
Is it? Mm.
It's a bit like Johnny at Woodstock.
Okay. What about what's going on? 4 weeks for Nakes and Broad. Is that a little
sort
bit over the top?
Well, we sort
I
of
thought
predict
three.
It. We said it yesterday that it's likely to be four. It was going to be minimum three. He did apologise, and he even read out a text that he sent to Parnell, who was shoved into the turf. It was, as Matty Nevitt said yesterday, it's more of a slam tackle than a sling tackle. So he said it was a poor act, and he put himself at the mercy of the tribunal, pleaded guilty, tried to get it down to three, but in the end, four. It does seem a lot when you consider Pickett only two.
That's right.
But it's the end result. One guy was knocked out and the other played on. So as much as they talk about the action, it's still very much an outcome-based business.
There's no doubt about that. And it's going to make things difficult for Tigers up against the rampaging Pies on Friday night, especially with Dustin Martin, who he's going to miss.
Well, it's a big session today. I think they're just warming up Punt Road now. So he has to get through that session to be able to play. So certainly in doubt, Dusty.
Is it a hamstring?
Yeah, well, it's hamstring awareness is what they're saying. That's what the club's telling us. Sometimes I can tell little Porky Pies, but clearly he does have an issue. So that's a concern.
What did you make of the call of Grant Thomas that Bevo has overstayed his welcome at the Dogs?
Well, it's an interesting one from Tomo. He knows Bevo well. They're both sort of Bayside operators. I think it's
Bevo. Where does he live?
Down Bentley Way. Grew up down there, so he's sort of Bentley type person. Yep.
But is he now living in the West or
no? He stayed down there. He's the type of guy that where he grew up, he still lives. I think he still skateboards down to the local pub, Bevo. So he's a different sort of character.
What was the local team? He won like three or four flags. Took them through all the
St. Bede's.
Was it St. Bede's?
Amateurs. I think they came from. Three grades, he lifted them three divisions,
three
premierships
in
a row. So that's pretty good. I think Grant Thomas, I really rate Tomo. I think he's a great commentator, was a fantastic coach, great for the media. But not sure he'd know 100% what's happening down at the kennel at this stage. But it's interesting sort
is
of...
Is he still relevant, Grant Thomas?
Yeah, he is relevant.
He's just becoming dial-a-quote though, isn't he?
No, he's relevant because he always has an interesting take on things. And you can understand... What he's saying is that Bevo would have been a sought-after coach at several clubs, and you can run out of sort of mojo at times. Ross Lyon left and moved on, even though he's successful. He's saying Bevo's a great coach, but sometimes you need to move when the time's right. I think we wait till mid-year before we decide that one. We'll learn a lot tomorrow night against the Lions. I think the first 10 minutes of that game will probably tell you a lot on where Bevo sits.
So he signed a one-year extension?
A two-year extension. So that was late last year, early December.
So he's got 2.5 years to run.
2.5 years to run. So the question
is,
should
they
sack
him now? Because
no, they won't sack him now. But should they have reappointed him then? That's the question. I can't see anything wrong with that. If they hadn't reappointed him, imagine what would be going on at the moment. A lot more heat.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Sometimes you've got to move. When you look at his record, the Dogs have played in 4 grand finals. They played in one in 54 and one in 61. And then he's coached the last two within a space of 7 years.
Do the coaches have clauses in their contracts now where you've got a capped 6-month payout?
Yeah, a lot of them do. I'm not sure about Bevo's situation, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's very common. That's all Brett Ratten got. He signed a 2-year deal, and a few months later was sacked and only got 6 months. We had Alistair Nicholson of the Coaches Association on this morning, and that was part of what we asked him about. It's probably a bit unfair, don't you think?
Well,
look, if you've signed a deal for your show, you'd expect that to be paid out. The coach is probably the same. Any industry, really, if you've signed a three-year deal.
It makes superfluous having 2 3-year contracts, because they're not.
Yeah, well, they're more a statement, really. They're not what they seem.
Because at the EPL, there's no such thing as a long-term contract. They sack managers after 3 games. Same as what goes on in the NFL, I suppose, over there, or the basketball, more for the players. You could get moved on, you know, 3 times in a season.
But the AFL, I think, was just trying to protect the clubs for themselves. Sometimes the big payouts were just getting out of control. Long deals, big payouts. So they've come up with a way of kind of fudging around that, some sort of compromise.
So we sit here right now, March 29. Give me your Bevo call. He is safe and will see out his contract?
Look, he's safe. I wouldn't say he'd see out the full 3 years, but he's certainly safe this year, safe beyond this. And there's no reason why they can't turn it around. So I think he's definitely safe at the moment.
Okay. What else is making news?
Well, a lot of talk about the coaches' mental health alarm over the soft cap cuts. It's back page of the Herald Sun today. And when you look at the scale and the bands of pay, assistant coaches at the moment are on 150 to 200. It's still pretty good coin, isn't it, to be a third banana?
How many hours would they be working for?
Well, they do work long hours, have to cut up video, but you're still working in an elite sporting environment. You can duck down to the gym. You can be around young people, successful people. It's a great environment to work in. So 150 to 200. Normally, I think pre-COVID, more 2 to 250 for the sort of senior assistant coaches. It's still pretty good money, Mikey, don't you think, to be involved in a footy club and helping young people be their best?
Absolutely, Steve-O.
So I'm trying to align it up with current, the current atmosphere out there in the community. I mean, a lot of people doing it tough, so I think we need to balance that up. Well, I know Daniel Harford was strong saying the extreme pressure that some of these assistant coaches are under, but I'd say the head coach certainly is under supreme pressure, but some of these assistants, they get to sort of ride, you know, one out, two back, and do their job, but they don't really cop the blowtorch.
No, but I suppose they probably do in the job security stakes.
Yeah, they sign 2 or 3 year deals, and if the senior coach is on the nose and that, they could be doing the best job in the world.
A new person comes in, they don't keep the assistants.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a swings and roundabouts. I thought, what's his name, middle blank, Noble, spoke really well.
David Noble.
Yeah, he just sort of was a great. We could have spoken to him for another half an hour. It was extraordinary, really interesting. I thought, and he said that he didn't quite know what he was getting into, and he said he made some mistakes as well, Michael.
Yeah, I agree. And he almost seems, listening to him, better positioned in this role as a administrator CEO rather than a coach, so to speak. I know he's highly valued in football circles, but he might have been. He sounds very learned and very, maybe more so suited to that. A coach to me still seems to be someone that needs to be able to inspire you as well.
Yeah. I think he's more of a CEO type managerial operator, and I think he's learnt that. I think he didn't quite know what he was getting into, Michael. So, I think it's great that he's out there talking. Of course, he's part of the Grand Prix now with the Dick Johnson Racing. Mm. Who was a bit of a rev head growing up. So, also, they're looking at spots on the AFL Commission. Joel Selwood's name's been mentioned. There's 2 spots available. A lot of talk about Gil McLaughlin's role, but they still haven't filled the commission yet. So there's a few sort of jigsaw pieces that haven't gone into place at the AFL.
There is quite a few unanswered questions, rather, around that. Is that because Gill wants to stay, or they're waiting for Tasmania to be resolved, the Hawthorn situation. What's stalling the process?
Well, they're into the interview process now. I think there's still six involved in that. So the mail is that Brendan Gale won't get the job. I know that Neil Baum sort of has suggested that he's likely now to stay. So you'd think it'd be an in-house decision. But Daniel Harford is adamant. He's sticking by this. He thinks Gill will stick around.
Gee whiz.
Impeccable sources. So Harf might have the biggest story of the year brewing.
We're about to do Tassie time. Can you give our Tassie listeners some kind of timeline on an announcement?
Well, the May budget's the big one. Anthony Albanese, they're waiting for the funding. I think that will happen. Elbo surely will come to the party. I think it's $240 million or something. So they need to get that done. So that'll be part of the budget. That'll be one of the big budget stories. I know that you'd hang around for budget night, wouldn't you?
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait.
No, you're full of good news.
Hey, Steve, we'll spend a bit more time tomorrow because we need your crystal ball of the week. We'll go through every match tomorrow and your best bets for the weekend.
For sure. Tomorrow night, big game, Bulldogs, Brisbane. How many people they get there? That's the question. Will the doggy fans drop off? Might only be about 25,000 there. More of a TV event Thursday night.
25,000 would be disgraceful.
That wouldn't be disgraceful. It's Thursday night. It's a school night. It's Dogs Brisbane. Well, I think there's a chance. That's my tip.
Okay. Maybe they should
be
playing.
But that's a pass. It's a TV
prime
event.
Prime night.
Yeah.
Contest.
But you'll be watching on TV, Dunkley versus the Dogs.
Will you be there?
I will be there.
Really?
After Saturday night, I thought I'm not going, and I've changed my mind. I think Mikey agrees. As the week goes on, you get more and more bullish that you can turn it around.
The longer it takes, the time heals all pain.
It does, Mike.
That's how it works.
A few of our listeners are saying that is laid by James. And the line I was thinking of, you think you're so pretty.
No, James. That's not the line. There's another one there.
No, but that's how it starts.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You can't play it. I've been listening to it. We can't play it.
I did warn, luckily. Mm-hmm. I warned you, didn't I, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah,
right
on. Well done, Steve-O.
Good on you, Steve-O. That early termination clause won't be used today for Steve-O.